insubordination, and rejection. We see that process this morning in the life of King Saul, but we'll look at those examples just a little bit later. Can someone tell me what insubordination is? What does that mean? Correct. Not being in subjection. Maybe in the workplace, maybe in the home, maybe in the church. And then finally, rejection by God himself. Disobedience versus obedience is a choice that you have in life, that I've had in life. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. Been born in the early 50s. You had the hippie movement, you had the Beatle movement, who brought in a full-scale rebellion in society. You had different fads that went along with that. The bell-bottom pants came into the Mennonite church, along with a lot of other things. The Jesus movement and all of that. Did I do some of those things? Yes. Bell-bottom pants came out when I was probably still in high school, maybe in senior. And a deacon had to step up alongside of me and say, "Art, we don't wear those kind of clothes. And here's why we don't." I say this, if you do some of those things, just accept the correction. In whatever area of life you find it today. Subject to authority. I'll just share a few personal illustrations and then we'll move on. And that meant obeying the authority on the highway as well. As a young man, if you don't know much about Lancaster County, you probably don't know where this town is at. But in the town of Reamstown, I was coming home late one Saturday night. Single man. I rounded the curve at the end of town and decided I was out of town. And I sped the vehicle up. Unknowingly to me was a police officer sitting in the dark shadows. I had a few things to learn. And he caught me outside of town, right between two houses of church people. And he said, "You were doing this and this." When he first stopped me, I thought, well, as a young man, I've never been stopped before. I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to stand up outside of my car, only to realize it's not the thing you do at 11 o'clock at night. I was told where to go. I accepted my penalty of that. Back in those days, you got a lot of points pretty quick. And I had to go to night school for a few times. Because they wanted to impress upon our minds how important the laws of our land are. I hear a lot of Mennonites say that they can go five over. They grant you that grace. No, they don't. Police officer stopped me one time. And talking with me, I was going five over because I always pushed it that way. And he said, "I'm going to fine you." I said, "I do not have to give you grace for the 5 mile an hour over." I had a middle-aged gentleman in the church when I was quite young who told me that he had a topic at prayer meeting and he said, "If we go five over purposely, you're being for wrath's sake." Do you want to be obedient to authority? Then you have no business going over this meeting. So the police officer said to me, "Then you know that you were purposely going five over." I said, "Yes." I couldn't lie to him. And he said, "I'm going to fine you." And he did. I accepted my penalty, paid the price, and learned a lesson. How are you in the workplace? How are you in church? How are you in family life? Children, you are commanded in the Bible to obey your parents. Teenagers, you are commanded in the Bible to obey your parents. Adult, in the 20s, if you have your feet under your father's table, you are commanded in the Bible to respect the rules of your home. We'll leave that. There's a lot more I could say about the 60s and 70s. It was a time when young people wanted their freedom in our world today, in our world back then. Rebellion at its fullest that I believe has crept into the church today. I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel 15 for a Bible example. Later on, I'm going to share with you five principles to keep you from getting to that place of rebellion. Verse Samuel 15. We're going to look at the example of King Saul. And I don't think I'm going to read all of these verses. When Saul did not kill all the Amalekites and destroy everything that they had, it's interesting that he tries to justify himself. And Samuel said, comes with his answer to Saul. When Saul came to Samuel and he said, "Why haven't you obeyed the Lord?" He said, "I have obeyed the Lord." And then he blamed it on the people, that the people took of the best of the flocks and so forth. But in verse 22, but then Samuel says, "Well, what does this mean? I hear the bleating of the sheep." Look at verse 22 and 23. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." You might think it's all right for you to go out and buy lottery tickets. And when I give it, I'll give at least half to the church. Think God would be pleased? Absolutely not. But Saul, in the context of these verses, let's go back to verse 3. "Now go and smite the Amalekites and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman in faint and infant, suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And they were specifically told to kill the king, to destroy him. The command was to go. What's so hard to understand about that? Very simple. You are not allowed to take anything for yourself. Nothing. Yeah, that means nothing. We find Saul going through all four of these steps and finally being rejected by God. The Holy Spirit left him and he was rejected by God. Saul and his Israelite army came. They spared Agag the king. We are told in verses 8 and 9 that and he took Agag the king of the Amalekite alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and his people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I made him king." He grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And Saul comes and says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord." Samuel had to remind him that you have not done what you were told to do. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Saul and continued to try to justify himself by blaming it on the people. You have another example is, well, let's move on here with King Saul. I'll just mention the other example later. So God sends Samuel to confront him, and it really grieved Samuel that he had to do this. Verses 17 to 21, Samuel's charge of disobedience was given against Saul. Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Saul's claim of obedience. We try to justify what we've done. We try to justify ourselves by what we have done to satisfy the disobedience. It's clear that Saul understood the absolute seriousness of the Lord's command to utterly destroy, but yet Saul chose to disobey. What about you and I this morning? In the land of which we live and in the church, in Psalms 24:3, it says this: who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? The answer is in verse 4, is that he who hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, to falsehood, you might say, and has not sworn deceitfully. The one whose deeds are blameless and whose motives are pure. Are you worthy? Psalms 31:6, the Hebrew word translated, vain idols, who has not lifted up his soul to that which is worthless, to that which is a lie or idolatrous. Let us note the nature of disobedience. Samuel used three words to describe disobedience. Firstly, the word obey means to hear and understand and obey. Without question, Saul and the Israelites understood the Lord's command. It was plain English. What didn't they understand? But can we ourselves this morning come to the same place? This primary fact of not being willing lies at the heart of disobedience to God. God has spoken. God has made his will clear, and God will make his will clear for you of what you must do in certain situations. Walked into a business place the other day and he was making a joke. The man was proceeding to tell me a little joke about hell. And he asked me the question. He said, Trump will be in hell someday, right? I replied like this: I'm not the judge, but by their fruits you shall know them. And he proceeded to tell me a joke about hell and how that Trump went into hell and there was a room to the right and he opened that door and I forget who was in there. I think Biden was in the second room and the third room. And I proceeded to tell him, I left him on load his little joke, what he thought was a joke. And I proceeded to tell him that that's not what my Bible says about hell. Hell is a real place of torment. Hell is a real place for all disobedience and all who are finally rejected by God. I told to him that my Bible tells me in the end of Revelation that it's a place of fire and brimstone. It's a place of torment for all eternity. And then you have the word rebellion, the second word, which enforces what we just saw. Rebellion describes a determined refusal to obey. First, it's disobedience. It doesn't look so bad. But then it's rebellion. God said, utterly destroy. They said, sacrifice to the Lord. Thirdly, the word insubordination describes rebellion rooted in arrogance, where we become bold. We're living in a world today that sin is becoming bold. It's becoming very bold. It was an act of sheer arrogance for the Israelites to know what the Lord commanded and to do differently under the guise of worship. This was the covering of a rebellious and covetous heart with outward acts of piety. Jesus describes this as vain worship. Matthew 15, 7 to 9. I'm going to turn there. You may stay here in 1 Samuel 15. I just want to read you a few verses out of Matthew. Chapter 15. Verses 7 to 9. Ye hypocrites! Well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You have the fourth word here on this board, and that's rejection. Saul's spirit finally departed from Saul. And God had to choose another king. And God knows everything. He knew well who that would be. King David followed him after this reign. And God rejected Saul from being king. Dear one, do we want to come to the point where God will reject us in the final day? People today, we cannot run away from God. Rather, let's walk in obedience. You have Jonah as another example. A one who tried to run away from God, who was in the fish's belly 3 days. In a sense, a type of Christ. He was 3 days in the fish's belly. But Jonah was a man who tried to flee from God. We all know the story well. Children know the story well. You cannot hide from God. Jonah went after the fish vomited on dry ground. He went to deliver the message to Nineveh, a very wicked city. He had fear to go into that city before. But after being in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights, he went to deliver the message. And he came back out, sat under a gourd, and was angry because the city of Nineveh repented. And God even came and asked him, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah said, yeah, I do well to be angry. I think after I spent 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly, I may have answered. I don't hope I would have answered like that. But how many times in your life has God asked you to do something and you're actively rebelling and run the opposite direction? If I am angry at God, how many times have we brought something or pursued someone we know is not right for us, but we want them anyway? You can call it stubbornness if you want. A strong will of determination, but God calls it rebellion. We'll leave that in God's hands. I want to spend the rest of the morning sharing with you 5 steps to overcome rebellion And so you don't get to this place where the final rejection. God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. Are you struggling this morning with a form of rebellion against authority in your life? Whether it be your parents, your mom or dad, who you feel is just too old-fashioned, and someone over here has just the greatest parents. We have outlined 5 steps here this morning, our process to help you change and heal in this area of your life. If you are struggling with rebellion to authority. Number one is make sure that your view of God is correct. Unless you have a correct view of God, you're going to end up in this place. If you have a tendency toward rebellion, chances are good that your view of God has become a little bit skewed in some way. Perhaps you see God as a tyrant. Fathers and mothers, you're responsible to how your children view God as to how you are and what type of authority you are in the home. I do not exempt any parent from that. Young people, you may see your parent as being the problem. That is still not going to excuse you with God. You still have the privilege and understanding to do what's right. Maybe you're selfishly wanting everything your way. And your reaction to him could spill over to your relationships with other authority figures in your life. And it will. But I want you to consider these points under this first point of a correct view of God. God's commands, number one, are fair. God's commands are fair and good. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is faithful. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. He is just and upright. You can mark Deuteronomy 32:4 there if you want a scripture for that. The second statement under this adopting a correct view of God is that God will hold us accountable for our rebellion. The Lord is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. He lays the sins of the... It says here in Numbers 14:18, God does not excuse. There are no excuses with God. Even children in the third and fourth generation, just because your grandfather got mad and so you can't control your anger, you can control your anger. Those people that want to claim generational sin are wrong. The chain can be broken. I don't care what your great-grandfather, yes I do, but I don't care what the line of command has done in the past. You are responsible before God. Dear ones, this morning, embark on a study of the justice and sovereignty of God as reflected in Scripture. Take those two words and do a study on them sometime. With an open mind, as you encounter biblical truth in relation to justice and sovereignty of God, asking God to change your heart, to change your view. Step number two, change your false beliefs. Do something about it. If you have mistaken ideas about people and the world, you will rebel against authority figures. And especially the greatest authority figure of them all is God. Evaluate beliefs with the following questions. Question number one, do you believe that you are the subject to properly instituted authorities? Depends what your answer is. Those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. You go to Romans 13:1 and you can read it for yourself. It says, well, let me turn there. In Romans chapter 13:1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. It says here that whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works. If you're obedient, you don't have nothing to fear. What is your attitude toward a police officer? Fathers, your attitude that is expressed at home will determine. I shouldn't say it that way. Your attitude is going to bleed into your children. The attitude that you have authority in your life. If you are downing authority in your life, then your children are going to have to get help somewhere else. If they're going to turn out right. Tell you the illustration of a family I know quite well. This goes back a number of years. Some of their children have left the conservative church that they had been in. And the mother was lamenting the fact of what took place in their home. The son said, Mom, you were totally dissatisfied the way church leaders handled things in the church. All my life I've heard nothing but discontent and dissatisfaction. Did not bring them attraction to be involved in the same church. It's going to happen the same with you. Unless your children get help somewhere else. Do you believe you can defy authority without consequences? The Bible is clear. You cannot. It says it right here. You don't like discipline? Proverbs 5:12 talks about not heeding the warnings. Do you believe that God's commandments and will are unreasonable? God's commandments are reasonable. Third question is, do you believe God's commandments and will are unreasonable? I didn't mention that. Have we devoted ourselves to the commandments of God? Psalms 119, verse 45. Says this, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies. If we're going to, as a family I mentioned, if we're going to have a Sunday lunch of stewed preacher, or a Sunday lunch of other authorities in your life, you're not going to produce the right thing from your home. You're going to finally come in life when your teenagers are going to be making choices of their own. When they leave the authority of your home. Trace the theme of obedience through Scripture. Put the word obedience in it and understand how the Scripture is full of verses on obedience. In the process, test your beliefs about how families, businesses, and churches and society would operate without obedience. Principle number 3. Repent of your sin. When you have sinned, repentance is the only way back. Where does your rebellion usually manifest itself? At home? At church? at work? Don't ever tell your boss at work. If he tells you to do something, you tell him it's not in your job description. If your boss tells you to do it, it's your job. I don't care if your boss is even unfair. What does your rebellion usually manifest itself? Evaluate that in your life. In your problem of disobedience, insubordination, lawlessness, scoffing at authority, or disrespect. Just pinpoint your sin right where it is. Pinpoint it right where it is. When you are ready to pray the following prayer and ask God to come into your heart, and I don't care if you've been a church member or not for a number of years. What did Adam and Eve do? Satan came and said, Eve, that's unreasonable. God didn't really mean it. He knows that you're going to become like him if you eat of that tree. He deceived her into thinking that it was all right to do that small thing. Remember, it's God who has established authority in your life. Adam and Eve failed. They were chased out of the garden. There's always consequences when we fail. But let's repent. Get back on track. If you have harmed others with your sin, go back and make those things right. Seek reconciliation and offer restitution. Whatever it takes, are we willing to humble with the spirit of humility? Repent. Step number 4. Defend the truth against spiritual attacks. Stephen, perfect lesson this morning. Defended the truth. In order to defend the truth, we have to know the truth. Right here in the book of life. We have to know the truth. We have to be rooted in the truth. We have to be grounded in the truth. Attacks from the world, the flesh, and the devil. We cannot face on our own strength. But we need to face them in the power of Jesus Christ. These spiritual enemies want to draw you back into disobedience to God. We know what Adam did when he was called by God. The world system tells us to the way to a good life is to have total freedom. I want to go to a church that doesn't have any rules. Never really seen that work out yet. Recently there was a very conservative family. It was moving to another state. They were going to go to a church without any rules. The world wants to tell you, whatever feels good to you, just do it. Does God agree? Absolutely not. He says true freedom comes from submitting to a proper to proper authorities and giving your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Overcome the world by rejecting its values and embracing God, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Your flesh, our sinful nature, we might say, has always enjoyed the sense of power, and that comes from rebelling against authority. It craves to get that feeling back. What you need to do is remember that your flesh is only dead by the power of Jesus Christ. The devil is making schemes to tempt you to rebel against authority. doing great damage to you and others in the process. Read Ephesians 6 sometime, the first four verses, and even on down beyond, where it talks about being subject to our masters, those who are authority at work. I mentioned that before. But rather, among the other pieces of spiritual armor listed in Ephesians 6, put on the helmet of salvation to protect your mind from Satan's poisonous thoughts and attacks upon you. And the last step is this. Steps to overcome rebellion is to flee temptation. Flee temptation. Sometimes it takes a literal fleeing. And I've said this before here. It takes a literal fleeing. It takes a fleeing from Joseph. Another example of one who fled temptation. Very evil report came out of that to the king. But take practical steps in your life to avoid sliding back into rebellion and to cement an attitude of obedience in your heart. Focus on your relationship with God. Where is it today? Where are you at in your personal devotions? Where are you at in family devotions, fathers? May there not be a home among us who doesn't have family devotions. And who does, I don't care if you're grandpa and grandma. I can testify that we still have them. I'm not saying this to lift myself up at all. But I don't care how old you are or where you find yourself in life. Don't lay aside that worship together. Latch on to the promises of God. Find helpful verses in Scripture and then commit them to memory to help you in your struggles against the temptation to rebel. How many times in my life the song would ring through my mind, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Some other victory will help you another to win. Psalms 19:8, the commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. Commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Establish, the third principle is this, the third safeguard is this, is establish some safeguards. Where there are certain lines that you do not cross over. You know what you're tempted with, and you don't cross that line. Think about the usual sources of temptation for you to rebel. Identify precautions that you can take to protect yourself from those sources, or else we will fail again. If you tend to be insubordinate to your boss, start by using a respectful term to address them. As a reminder that you need to respect that authority. If you are tempted to scoff at the authority of the church, if it wasn't for people who loved me in my youth, I wouldn't be where I am today. If you're inclined to belittle authority, you will have the example of a family that I shared with you this morning. If you tend to be critical of government officials, making fun of the police officer, whoever it may be, or even those you have authority over us in church, in government today. Even the man that is now in the Social Security office that is a little more difficult to work with, we still must be respected. That's the only way we're going to be honor and glory to God. be accountable to somebody if you have much of a problem being submissive. Maybe if you have struggles having proper study of the Word of God and having proper church family relationships and church relationships, be accountable to somebody. Developing a submissive spirit is not easy and doesn't come naturally. But you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Be confident and rejoice in every sign of submission. In the closing of the message this morning, I'm going to give you a little self-test, and you answer these questions to yourself. Maybe we'll call it a self-evaluation quiz. You have quizzes in school. If your parents are still living, do they resent your attitude toward them? What does God think? Your attitude toward your parents isn't what it should be. Dear ones, God knows what you're thinking. What happened to Achan? I have him down in the examples too. What happened to Achan? He took of the Babylonian garments. Who's going to know this under my tent? But God knew. It cost them their life or their whole family because they were an accomplice with it. If you are a wife this morning, does your husband feel that you work against him instead of with him? Do you support his leadership? What about wives? Well, we could turn that around. And as a husband, do you expect compliance from your wife, but resist those who have authority over you? It doesn't work that way. You cannot resist authority over you and expect your family to come out right. They can. They'll get their help somewhere else. Do you refuse to pursue the vision of your local church established by the church leaders? If you have a job, does your boss look upon you as an obstacle to getting the company where it is hoping to go? Do you set a poor example for your coworkers? Bringing down morale, bringing down complaining about the boss. Do you disobey laws when you think you can get away with it? I had a woman say one time, they came from the state of Illinois, they were traveling. She lamented the fact that back then we had big lights on top of police cars, and there's actually, it's a little bit like they have in the state of Michigan here now. There's a big red bubble. She made this statement to her, that her family would have heard her, that we could have made better time, but there's just too many bubble gum machines around. If that's our attitude, brothers and sisters, that's going to bleed through your children and your families. May God help us to take the thoughts that we've shared this morning and allow that to help you grow in your Christian life. Shall we pray?